strength and power.
You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
I said, well, if you couldn't stop him, what were you doing? He said, well, I was interceding to my Father for you and for them. And I said, why would you intercede for them? They were the ones hurting me. He said, this is what you have to understand. I love them just as much as I love you. And I came to save them just like I came to save you. And then I began to realize since that day that happened that I had done a lot of things to hurt people. I had done a lot of things to hurt a lot of people. I'd probably done worse to people than those boys done to me that day in those 20 years that I cursed God. But yet he forgave me. Not only did he forgive me, but he healed me and set me up to where I could serve him. He trusted me with something that was most precious to him. He trusted me with those that were wounded and hurt and broken and busted and those that were down in life and those that were trying to reach God but didn't know how. Who does God care the most about? Well, the ones that are most wounded. And I thought, wow, what a privilege that God would trust someone like me with his wounded people. Whew. Who better understands the wounded people but those that have been wounded and healed? How can you tell someone that you understand something if you've never experienced it yourself? The Bible is pretty clear. It says that we comfort others with the comfort that we've received of the Lord. So we comfort others with what God has comforted us in. We help others heal from the things that we've been healed from. And that's what makes this ministry work. My wife and I are not counselors and not healers. We simply get people before the Lord and get the doors open so God can do the work.
Have you seen the new movie, The Sound of Freedom?
Not yet. We're getting ready to go see that.
Well, everybody leaves that, and as I did, angry with these people that are abusing children. It's a $150 million a year industry selling little kids for sexual. I just can't imagine this, the perversion. And my first reaction is like all of us, but like you said, all of a sudden I started telling people, I said, you know, we not only have to pray for the kids, we got to pray for the abusers, because God says in the scriptures, they have, you know, God's revealed himself to us, but they have not seen God.
No.
So everybody that's still breathing, no matter how bad they've been, they could have a chance to repent and be forgiven. And your story, that's amazing, that you know, because I had somebody in Tennessee before I came to Vero Beach. I was living for a short time in Goodlettsville, right outside of Nashville. And I was there taking some gospel classes, a gospel music writing classes.
Yes, sir.
And these ladies, a couple of ladies just mistreated me and spoke about my character. They didn't even know me from Adam. And it wasn't nice. So it was 30 years later, I'm driving down the highway one night, still mad at these two ladies. And the Lord says, wow, you've been out of Nashville for 30 years. I went, yeah. You're not the same person you were 30 years ago, are you? No, I'm not. Really, lots changed with me in my life. He said, well, those women have grown too, and they're not the same women. So the women you hate are no longer alive. They've moved on. They're changed. They've grown too. And all of a sudden, it was like, poof, all my anger towards those women disappeared, because the women that were not nice to me are no longer alive. For all I know, maybe God's dealt with them, and they're much better people today.
Yes, sir, Rhett. You know, we have to come to the place to where we really fully understand the depth that we have been forgiven. I believe that when we understand the price that was truly paid for us to be able to have the right to be forgiven, and that sinks in, who are we not to forgive? Who are we that we think that we have the ability not to forgive?
Well, you know, last night I saw this man on TV. I watched YouTube, and this guy said, I'll give you to a man on the street. He said, I'll give you $1,000 if you tell me something that you your biggest regret in life. And the man said, I regret that I had a child with a lady and that I was a coward and that I ran.
Wow.
The man is all these years later living on the street. He's a bum. He says, I hate myself for it. And I think about it every day of my life. What a sentence. He thinks about it every day of my life. And he starts weeping. And, of course, the man says, wow, well, here's the $1,000. And he says, are you sure? He goes, give him the $1,000. And you can see this man was so sorrowful for what he'd done. And I went to bed last night thinking, I want to reach people like that.
Yes,
I want to walk down the street. And, you know, Jesus said that he gives us the power to forgive.
Yes, sir.
Well, I don't know if he was just talking to his apostles or if he was talking to Rhett Palmer and Terrell Rowland, but I'd love to be able to approach people and say, you know, all that guilt you're carrying, all that stuff from the past, I have the power. God's given me the power. Or I could just say he has the power to forgive. But he has the power to forgive, and I'm the conduit. So would you like to be forgiven of all that? Because the Bible says, confess your sins one to another.
That you right? may be healed.
And just say to that man on the street, I would like to say, okay, I'm giving you a new beginning. The Lord is giving you a new beginning. In the name of Jesus, I forgive you of that sin and all your sins. Let's have a new beginning. And that's what when I first listened to Billy Graham on the radio, it finally sunk into my head one day that all those tin cans, we got them on strings and they're clung to our back and we're dragging them through life. And God can say, I can snip all those things and I'll give you a brand new beginning. Right, Terrell?
Yes, sir. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says that we can be transformed by the renewing of our mind. But also it has to do with our heart, because it says that out of our heart flow the issues of life. So it has to be a two-part deal. Our thinking has to be transformed, and our heart has to be transformed.
Yeah, because sometimes we can jump right back into being religious. You ever notice that? Somebody gets born again, like me, and becomes religious, and that cuts off the flow.
Religious and legal.
Pardon me?
Religious and legal.
Just like Jesus said, many will come to me on that day saying, we did signs and wonders in your name. We healed in your name. We delivered demons in your name. Now, and he said, depart from me. I never knew you. And to others, he'll say, you visited me in prison. You fed me when I was hungry and clothed me when I was naked. And they will say, this is Jesus. He said, they'll say, we don't remember you, Jesus. When did we do this to you? And he'll say, when you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. Come in, for your reward is great. Look at King David. King David was a sinner. He was an adulterer. He was a murderer. But God said he had a heart after God, because when Samuel told him what he'd done wrong, he fell down to the ground prostrate and put sand over his head and repented to the Lord and apologized.
That's the key. You know, 1 John 1:9 says, we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But James 5:16 says, that we confess our sins one to another, that we be healed. It's a two-part deal. First, we get saved and we ask Jesus Christ to be our Lord and our Savior and move into our heart and give him permission. And then the work begins. A lot of people think once they get saved, things are supposed to be a rose garden with no thorns. But what they find out is the battle gets tough. Why? Because now the battle has begun between the soul and the spirit. Now there's a real battle going on, and that's the Lord trying to get to those things in your heart, the things in your soul, the things that have affected your mind, your will, and your emotions that caused you to believe contrary to who God says you are. And we have to learn and walk in the fullness of God in Christ Jesus, walk in the power and the authority and the boldness that God has given us to walk in. You know, I got a saying, you know, that I'm not going to back up, shut up, or give up until I reach the fullness of God in Christ Jesus. I've been doing this for 30 years, but I'm not there yet, but I'm getting there. And I want to be able to walk in the power where I can walk into the hospital. And I can speak to those that are sick to arise and walk in wellness. I want to be able to walk into a mortuary and say, get up out of that bed, it's time to go to work. And the dead arise. Now, the Bible says that we have that power because Jesus said, with greater things than these, you'll also do. If he raised the dead, he gave us the power to do the same. And you see it happening in third world countries. I know testimony after testimony, missionaries that watched it happen.
I met a man right here. Father Diorio was a Catholic priest given the gift of healing in his mid-50s. And this man been in a wheelchair with a broken back for over 20 years. When I first came to know the Lord, he came to speak at this little prayer meeting we had on Tuesday nights in upstate New York. And he spoke to us, and he said he was at a father event with Father Diorio and said, arise in the name of Jesus and be healed. And anyway, so he was there standing there talking to me on the front porch afterwards. And I said, well, if God is such a good God, why did he allow you to be in that wheelchair for 20 years? And he said, son, if God hadn't allowed me to be in the wheelchair and heal me, you wouldn't be here talking to me. And he said, by the way, they take pictures of my back, and technically my back is still broken, but I walk like a regular man. Yeah, pretty cool, huh? I agree yes, with sir. You know, like Peter, Simon Peter, and I think it was John, they would walk by. Remember, they said, well, we don't have any money, gold and silver. We have none, but what we have, are giving the name of Jesus. Yes. And then they said that Peter would walk by people, and the shadow would touch people.
That's right.
And they'd be healed. I don't know how we get them. Then there are those that, of course, they say that this was the apostolic calling and that God doesn't heal through people anymore. Well, I got to tell you, folks, I've met too many people who have been healed to say that that's a lie.
I will tell you a story that we do prayer meetings sometimes in our homes, and sometimes we do it at the church there at Treasure Coast Church of God on Friday nights, where we just get together as a group of people out of our inner healing class and local community. And we pray, and we worship, and we ask anyone if they need prayer for anything. We had a 72-year-old lady that was set up for a hip replacement and surgery on her knee because her leg was shorter than the other. And we sat her down and prayed for her, and me and the people praying for her actually visually saw her leg grow out 2.5 inches. When she came in, she had on special shoes in order to walk straight. When she left without the shoes on because she couldn't walk while she had the shoes on. She went back to the doctor. The doctor said he had no idea what had happened, but she no longer needed surgery. We have doctor's confirmation of that. We sit there and watch the leg grow ourselves. We had a young lady in her early 20s that had diverticulitis and had been bleeding profusely, and she was set up to go to surgery. She had had the intestines had been bleeding for over 6 months. It wouldn't stop.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.